As we come together, how many of you like to know what is going to happen next? Most everybody, right? That's just kind of part of our DNA. I mean, some of us are more curious than others, but we do kind of like to know what's coming up next. And when you think about it, all of the things that happen to us in life mainly, I mean, they have kind of little hints at what's coming next. You're driving down the road, there are signs that tell you what's happening next, right? You know, even when I'm driving somewhere where I know where I'm going, I have my GPS on because my GPS will tell me what's next. It'll tell me if there's an accident down the road. It will tell me I need to slow down. There might be a speed trap down the road, right? I mean, it tells me what's going to happen next. Even if you're watching the news, they tell you, you know, in the next 5 minutes, we'll tell you about. And you're going, wow, I never thought I even needed to know that until they told me I did, right? But it's that kind of what's next kind of thing. We want to know that. And yet there's this tension. There's this tension between where we are right now and what's going to happen next. There's this tension that exists in our lives as we look at where we are right now, and it's not maybe exactly where we want to be next. And like we talked about last week, one of the things that we discovered last week is that staying exactly where you are is not the best way forward, right? There is something more. There's something more that you and I were intended for. Jesus called that the full life, right? The life that he came to give us was an abundant life, a life that was going to be full of love, full of hope, through a power, full of promise, full of God's presence, not full of worry, not full of anxiety, not full of fear, but full of Christ's presence. And that this full life, this better life, is possible. Better is possible. Just turn to someone and just say that to them. Better is possible. Yeah. Now, some of you are going, whew, thank heavens. And others of you are just going, man, if this gets better than this, I don't know if I can stand it. Probably not a lot of us in that category. Right? But better is possible. But what we really discover is that if we're going to live into that better life, into that fuller life, into that life that is possible, it doesn't happen unless we ask and get serious about asking that question, what's next? But it's not enough just to ask the question. Then you have to be willing to do what? Take a step into it, right? You have to be willing to kind of move towards it. You have to be willing to have it captivate your heart and your mind and your whole being. If you're going to step into that new life, if you're going to step into that abundant life, if you're going to step into that fullness that Christ has for you, even if you don't see it yet, even if it's not fully known to you yet, even if you don't know exactly where it's going to lead you yet, you have to believe that that next step is there, right? You have to be willing just to say, God, show me my next step. Don't show me all the steps I took that were not good. Just show me my next step towards you. That I might step into that new place, that new somewhere where I'm intended to be, because all of us are somewhere right now. And I don't mean just in this place or just wherever it is you are online, but all of us are somewhere in our minds. All of us are somewhere in our spirit. All of us are somewhere in our emotional being. All of us are somewhere today. Amen? And if you look around, none of us are in the same place. Amen? I mean, even for those of us that are in this room, we're not in the same place, but we are somewhere. And there is a next step after that. There is a step forward, and it's worth it. there is a step forward and it's worth it. Today I want to share with you not only why this is impossible, or why it is possible rather, but I want to share with you why it's important and how it might change your life, that it's more than just the power of positive thinking that we're talking about here. I mean, this next step, this better life, is written in God's Word, and it's written into the very being of your life. And it begins with the verse that we shared last week from Proverbs, from that wise man Solomon, where there is no vision, the people do what? Perish. Where there's no passionate pursuit of the future, where things die. And that's true in our marriage, it's true in our relationships, it's true in our kids, it's true with our health, it's true with our work. If we're not passionately pursuing it, if we're not living into it with our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, with all of our being, it is less than what God intended. Amen? I mean, it just is. And I love the way, if you remember from last week, I love the way the New Living Version translated it, where there is no vision, people run wild. You know? I think I experienced that on the highway yesterday. So we have to be looking forward into that, right? When I was growing up as a kid, my dad would tell me, you know, if you're riding with your Grandma Edna, never ask her if she saw something when she was driving. So you never say, did you see that? Because she would look. You know, I mean, she could barely see over the steering wheel to begin with. You know? And I swear she saw more out the back window than she saw out the front her whole time driving. You know, that is a perfect way to wreck. Agreed? Now, friends, that's not just true of driving down the road. If you're always looking backwards in your life, it's a good way to wreck your life. Amen? If you're always trying to look and blame somebody in life, it's a good way to wreck your marriage. Agreed? If you're always looking at what your kids did wrong, it's a good way to wreck your kids. Do you hear me yet? Now, none of us set out to wreck our marriages. Agreed? None of us say, man, I wonder if I can just make my kids turn out terrible. I mean, that isn't your thought when you first hold that baby, right? If it is, give them up now. Right? I mean, that's not what we think, but it is what we do sometimes, right? We get so focused on the past, we get so focused on the mistakes, we get so focused on the right now that we wreck them. We wreck our finances, we wreck our work, we can wreck anything that way. And it certainly isn't what Jesus came into our lives for. Amen? Jesus said that I have come that you might have life to the full, a rich, satisfying, full, in me, with God and with each other kind of life. And you don't find that kind of life by staying where you are or by always looking backwards to discover all those things that you've done wrong. You find that kind of life by looking forward to what he has for you. And that's really what we want to talk about today is looking forward to our purpose. Now, next week we're going to talk about looking forward to knowing God. Not just knowing about God, not just knowing who God is, but knowing God intimately, because that's the thing that really is going to be our what next make a difference. So I want you just to kind of hold that in your mind and thought, knowing that's where we're going. But this week we're going to be talking about knowing our purpose. This is our next step for us. That's what is next in our life here in this time and this place. What is my purpose in being a follower of Jesus? What is my purpose, not just as an individual, but what is my purpose in being a part of this faith community that meets here in this place called Harrisonville United Methodist Church? Now, that may seem like a very simple question, and you might think that everybody has all that figured out, and maybe you're one of the ones that thinks you have it all figured out, but a recent kind of survey said that 87% or almost 9 out of 10 people do not know their purpose. Just think about that. You're going, well, you know, no, I know my purpose. Well, then let me just ask you, have you ever said or heard someone say, why am I still here? Have you ever said or heard someone say, why is this happening to me? Have you ever said or heard someone say, I don't know what to do now? Those are purpose questions. Did you hear that? And we could almost say, might be 9 out of 10. I might even be one of those 9. That I don't know exactly what God created me to do while I was here before I die. Now, before you go beating up on yourself, know this. It's not too late. Because even if we don't know it, God does. You know? It's that notion that God has a purpose that we were created for because God made us that way. Now, we may not discover it always because we may keep bumping into those roadblocks, those enemies of our purpose. And those enemies of my purpose, they are the things that distract me. They're the things that prevent me from living the purpose that God's created us for. And those enemies, they sound like this one. This first one, confusion. Okay, confusion is one of those purposes or one of those enemies of purpose, right? Confusion comes and tries to convince me by sowing seeds that say there is no right direction. There's no right answer. There's no sure way to go. You know, it's the kind of thing that says, even in our life of following Jesus, it's the kind of thing that comes along and says, well, there are lots of ways to get to God. Now, I haven't read my Bible that way. My Bible somehow seems to say in the New Testament that the only way to know God is Jesus. I think he said it this way. I am the way and the truth and the life. Now, we get all this kind of all bent out of shape and thinking that, but that's not fair to the Buddhists. I got to tell you something here, friends. The Buddhists don't want to go to the same place I want to go to when I die. Just hear me. And I don't want to go where they want to go. Now, I'm okay if that's what they want to believe. That's fine. They're not a bad person necessarily. Doesn't make them evil. But I want them to know they have a truth to find the one true way. Do you hear me yet? But confusion comes in and tries to help us understand that, oh no, there's lots of ways to the same God. It's not the same God. There is one true God. Do you hear me? And there's one way. All right, now that maybe is a little too much, but not yet. Confusion comes when we come to a crossroads and we're faced with a situation not knowing which way to turn, or we got too many choices, or we don't know who to listen to, and we kind of get paralyzed by trying to figure out what really is the truth and what really isn't the truth. And friends, if you think that that is not a big enemy of helping us discover our purpose, then I just want you to think back to COVID. Okay? Did that keep our eyes off of Jesus or what? Did it divide the church and make us argue more about whether we were going to wear masks or not wear masks than anything else? Now, I got to tell you, it's not about wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. It's, did I come to worship Jesus? That should have mattered. Do you hear me? Now, some of you might be getting a little tense, a little nervous about that, but do you hear me? But confusion takes our eye off of what's really important. Which was more important, mask or Jesus? Which was more important, my opinion or Jesus? Which is more important, what I wanted or Jesus? But that isn't how most churches lived during that time. Amen? Confusion kept our eye off of our true purpose. The second enemy of my purpose is comparison. We begin to compare our lives to someone else's life. I mean, social media is great for this, right? I mean, you look at Facebook and you see someone's beautiful family picture on there and you go, wow, how come my kids don't look like that when we have a family portrait? You got to remember, that was one picture out of how many, right? It just happened that in that one snapshot, everybody was looking at the camera at the same time. They threw the other 25 away and didn't post those. Amen? Yeah, I mean, you know, when we compare our, you know, not just our family portraits and those kind of things, but when we compare the way our lives are, when we compare what we have, when we compare our lifestyles, when we compare ourselves to what we think success ought to look like. But you know, here's the deal. My life isn't like anybody else's. How about yours? You know? And I wasn't meant to live that life. I was meant to live whose life? Mine. You know, I'm going to be miserable. I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to be discouraged if I try to live my life like Fred out there, who's made $18,000 more than I do a year and has this kind of car and this kind of boat. And I'm going to be miserable if I'm trying to live like him. But that's not who God made me to be. Amen. I'll get myself in debt and won't be able to enjoy any of it, right? I won't be able to be satisfied with what God has given me, which, friends, is just enough. Amen? The third enemy of purpose is this. It's a counterfeit purpose. It's when we pursue a purpose that we were not created for. It's not just comparing, but it's when we actually try to live that lifestyle. It's actually when we try to make that one ours when it really wasn't. But here's what the psalmist says. Psalmist says in Psalm 139, verse 13, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born, and every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." God made us unique. Amen? Now, part of it we might say, God, I really wish you'd have got this part a little different. Right? But God made us that way. And when we realize that we're created different, we were given different gifts, that we can do things that no one else can do, it's a great day. But if we don't grasp that, we will miss the destiny of our life. Because God's design in you reveals God's destiny for you. Oh, just hear that again. God's design in you reveals God's destiny for you. And it's never too late to discover that. And it's never too early. How do you know? How do you know what your purpose, how do you know what your destiny is? Well, it's not for me to tell you. I'm just going to have to break that news to you. Okay? Because I didn't design you. Who did? God is the one to reveal that to you. But you can know it by looking back, and by looking at your present, and by looking forward. Now, when I'm saying looking back, I'm talking about looking way back. I'm talking about the call from birth. what God put in you at the very moment that you were born. When God called Jeremiah to be a prophet, Jeremiah was not so convinced that this was a good idea. And he was pretty young, and he had some own ideas of his own, but God, and he had some doubts because wasn't particularly articulate. He wasn't particularly the right person for the right job, he didn't think. But here's what God said to Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 5. I knew you before I formed you. Oh, that's kind of a powerful statement, isn't it? I knew you before I even formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I am too young. But the Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you, and don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Boy, don't you just, wow. Right? Now, some days I wish God was that clear with me. How about you? And then on other days, I'm just saying, yeah, don't say it quite that forcefully. Right? But God's saying, oh, Jeremiah, I put something in you from the moment of your birth. It is in your DNA. There is nothing you can do, no place you can go. There's nothing that can happen that's going to change this call that I've placed upon your life. And that's exactly how God works in your life and in mine. He puts it in us from birth, even. And we may try to get away from it. We may try to run away, get to say no to it, but it just isn't going to let us go. I remember whenever I was being called to be in the ministry, which really started happening before I was even 16. But I was convinced that that was not a good idea. You know? And so I just kept making deals with God that I would do this and I would do this, but I wouldn't do that. You know? And I kept making deals. And then I went off to college, and my first 2 years of college were miserable. Now, it wasn't because I didn't have a good college life. It wasn't because my grades were bad. It wasn't because everything was just, I didn't have any friends. It was just because everything that I wanted to do was not what God wanted me to do, and it was miserable. I was depressed. I couldn't really find my stride. There was just nothing that really kind of seemed right until one night I finally just said, okay, I'll be a pastor. I went home, I told my pastor, and he says, yep, it's about time. And I'm just going, you knew this. Why didn't you tell me? That's not for me to tell. That's for you and God. And then he said, there's some other people in the church. I mean, Phyllis, she's one of those people in the church. And her husband, or her son, was a pastor too. He became Bishop Fritz Mutti. And she said to me, she said, you know, I've seen it for a long time in you, since you were in third grade. Why didn't you tell me? It's not for me to tell. Now, they could see it in me. Did you hear? But who was the one who had to reveal that purpose to me? God. And it wasn't until God and I finally got on the same page that everything began to make sense. Do you hear me yet? And here's the thing. God has planted something in each one of you that's waiting to break free just like that. I'm not saying that you're all going to be pastors. I'm just saying that God has planted. If you're not happy in life right now, if there's something that's causing you to be anxious or worried right now, if there's something that's causing you to be distracted right now, you aren't in God's purpose yet. Amen? God is trying to make something known to you. Look around and see what it is. What is it that was with you from birth? What is it that's been happening in your present? And what is it that you can look back and see in your life experiences that God is confirming? Because all those things that happen to us in life, God can use. Amen? You know, the best illustration of that is Joseph, who was thrown in that well by his brothers, left for dead, then was but then they took him out and sold him as a slave, and he went and he did well, and then he got put in prison, and then he did well again. And I mean, it was just a whole up and down and up and down, right, in his life. And then his brothers come and they need him to provide food for their family, and they're afraid of what Joseph is going to do to them. But Joseph says to them this wonderful line in chapter 50 of the book of Genesis. Verse 20, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. What that really tells us is what? All of our hurts, all of our successes, all of our failures, all of our questions, all of our doubts, all of the things we're sure of, all of those things, no matter how they were intended for us, as Paul says, God can use them for his good. All those things can be for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Doesn't mean all those situations are good. It just means God can use them for good. Agreed? God can redeem them. And then finally, how we kind of work through those moments, how we get more into our purpose is this, is that faith steps with unknown outcomes. Our next steps will always have a moment of the unknown. They will always involve risk. And in those moments, we have the potential to hear God's voice the clearest. We lean into God more. We depend upon God more. Now, that doesn't mean go out and start living a risky life. Okay? It doesn't mean go out and just take a chance on everything. No. What I'm saying is when you hear God's voice, lean into it. When you feel God's nudge, move towards it. Faith steps are not about being reckless or solely living on, I hope it works out. Faith steps are moving forward based on what God says to us. Do you hear that? Faith steps are based upon what God says to us. Not what we see or what somebody else is telling us, but on what God says to us. And steps that we take like that, they create only God moments. Those only God moments are like the ones Paul had on the road to Damascus. Those only God moments are like the ones that Moses had at the burning bush. Those only God moments are like those that Peter had after the resurrection. Those only God moments are like the ones that Ruth had when she stood before the king and begged and intervened for her people. They are the moments that are made possible because God made them happen. There's no denying that it was God. They are miracle kind of moments, big and small, and you and I cannot deny them. Now, miracles, how many of you believe in a miracle? I hope you believe in a miracle, you know? But they're rare, but I just want to say they're more rare than they need to be. Do you hear me? They're more rare than they need to be. Because we're not willing to take a next step. We're not willing to step into those only God moments. And when we step into those only God moments, miracles happen all the time. Because they're the only way that they can happen in those moments. It's because it's only God acting then. It's when God is showing up then. It's in those moments that God not only shows up, but he shows off. Right? And reveals himself. You and I were made for more. God created you on purpose. God created you on purpose for a purpose. Now, I kind of believe that God might be speaking to somebody right now that just needed to hear today that phrase, that God has created me on purpose for a purpose. Maybe that's you, and it's not anybody else in here today. Maybe it's just you. Maybe you're 68 years old and you're going, I just don't know what that purpose is yet. God created you for a purpose. Maybe you're 15 and you're trying to figure it out. God created you for a purpose. Maybe you're somewhere in between or somewhere way over. God created you for a purpose. And when you live that purpose, not only is God glorified, but your life is full. Amen? Now, many of you have experienced those as moments in your life. But Jesus didn't intend them to be moments. He intended them to be a life. Amen? Discover your purpose today. Seek and know God today, that in seeking Him you might find Him. This is your moment. Gracious God, thank you for this time. Thank you for reminding us that you have created us for more than what we have settled for. Thank you for reminding us that there is more that is beyond our current pain, our current hurt, our current situation, that there is more that is beyond what we can see and know right now, that there is more to life with you. And God, as we look back, may we look all the way back and knowing that from birth, you put within us a purpose. But allow us not just to look back, but allow us to look ahead and lean in and as we trust you for that next step. May you reveal that next step to us right now. May you reveal that next step to us as we continue to worship. May you make yourself known. In Jesus' name, amen.